course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. Joined as always by our other friend Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not too shabby. You know, can't complain too much. Just living the dream, trying to avoid any weird rope creatures.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Today we are reviewing the Screambox movie Blood Barn. That's coming up a little later. Before we get to that, remember on February 20th through the 22nd, we will be attending Pensacon in Pensacola, Florida. So watch for our coverage of the event beginning on Friday, February 20th. And if you will be at the event, reach out to us. And if you see us there, say hi. We'll be the guys in the purple Listen to Their Scream shirts. Easy spot. Yep. Should be.
Very easy.
That's right. Before we get to everything else, Ike, did you watch anything else this week?
Well, let's see. I went through and we've been rewatching the, Scream series. We got through basically all of them, but the most recent Scream. We're still waiting to watch that last one. Otherwise, I watched Blood Barn, as most people probably know, if they are watching social media. We were going to watch Mortuary Assistant this week, but our theaters just had the worst show times possible. So, yeah. I wasn't expecting it to have such a limited release, especially given the success of Iron Lung. But they had an extremely limited release here. I think I had like one show time every day. And it was just not at a good time. So, just watch Blood Barn, and then we were catching up on Scream, which is always a good time.
Yeah, I'm gonna be watching the Scream series pretty soon. Let's see, I watched the movie Honey Bunch on Shudder. It was pretty good. I advise anybody to give that a watch. And then, for whatever reason, I have been doing a rewatch of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre series. And I watched up through Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the beginning. I just watched that one. Just got a couple more, I think, left to watch. I think Leatherface. Is it just Leatherface and then the newest one? Or is there two more? So many remakes.
There's a 2013 Texas Chainsaw.
Yeah, I still got, that's right. I got that one, and I got Leatherface. And I think then there's one more. Texas Chainsaw Massacre that just came out a couple years ago or something.
Yeah, the Netflix movie. I think it's just called like Texas Chainsaw Massacre or Texas Chainsaw or something like that.
So I got those three left. So that's all good and well. I don't know what inspired that. I don't know. Probably something that we've talked about on here. And so I've been down that rabbit hole. But okay, then let's take a break. And when we come back, we will have all of our news and anniversaries. So stick around. Make sure you subscribe to Listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. And welcome back with the news. All right, sports fans. No, I'm just kidding. we're going to start with our news here. Rumors are saying that the new TV Carrie series from Mike Flanagan will debut in October on Prime Video. So that's exciting. Obviously, Prime Video has been home to some pretty good stuff in recent years. I know that they did like The Boys and the Invincible series. They've done some other good stuff too. Horror related, I can't really pinpoint one specifically they've done that's been like super mind blowing, but hopefully this will be one of their first of many. But I'm excited. I'm always excited for some Carrie, some Stephen King, and of course, Mike Flanagan.
Yeah, me too. And I know a lot of times we don't we don't go too deep into the rumor stuff, but this did come from Katie Sackhoff, who's in the series. She
Oh, okay.
said it, so I thought, well, that's strong enough. There's no official announcement, but I think she's a good enough source that we'll go with that. So that's kind of why, again, we try not to just put every rumor out there, but I think this is coming from a pretty credible source. So yeah, that's exciting. Now, if we could just get a date on Crystal Lake, we'd be all good.
No, absolutely. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if that ever happens. But very good. But we'll keep you guys up to date on any more news about the Carrie TV series. But for now, we'll move on to our next little bit of news. In a recent interview, Jennifer Tilly stated that the new Chucky and Tiffany projects are currently in the works. Now, I think we kind of all knew that there would be more to come on this. I mean, the Chucky series did pretty well. So I think I pretty much always thought that it was just a matter of time before we got more content from that universe. And yeah, movies are probably going to be, well, I would venture to guess we're probably going to get maybe like a more true to form Chucky film of some sort, and then maybe jump back to the TV series. That's what I hope. Yeah, that's always good to hear that from the proverbial horse's mouth himself. Like you said, with the other rumors with Carrie, this is again, pretty substantiated since it came directly from Jennifer Tilly.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, there's no surprise here. Chucky's a very valuable commodity, franchise, IP, whatever you want to call it. It's never sat dormant that long. We've always talked about that, right? Chucky's probably the one of the franchises who's best, stayed active and stayed in the public eye and had some stuff out there. There's never been a super long dormant period. So
Yeah.
we knew something would brew soon, and we'll see what happens. We've had the series, which I really liked. But I'd be curious now for him to maybe dip back in and let's try a movie and or
Yeah.
something. I don't, who knows? But yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, we pretty much have always said that these movies never stay dormant too long. This is one of the few IPs that I feel like does a really good job about that. A lot of the other ones I feel like fail to maintain cultural relevance, but for some reason Chucky just sticks with us. So yeah, we'll keep an eye out though for any more updates on that. Hopefully, they'll get some filming underway in the coming future, and we'll before we know it, we'll get a trailer or something. But for now, well, actually, before we move on, the other day we were watching School Spirits, which is a TV show that Kayla and I watch. It's on Peacock. No, not
Oh,
Peacock.
and Jennifer Tilly in that?
Yeah, I was gonna say Jennifer Tilly's in School Spirit. She plays a character in the third season. It's not Peacock. It's shit, Paramount Plus, which fucking worst app on this earth. Still, like, I hate Paramount Plus's app so much. And there's so much stuff on there that I like to watch. Like, I want to go back and watch Dexter, but that's really the only place you can watch it. And like I would almost rather just have all of my teeth extracted than use Paramount Plus. And yeah, but no, it's a good show. It is unfortunately on Paramount Plus, but no, it's a great show. Has Jennifer Tilly in the third season, but Peyton List is like the main character, and she's from
Oh,
Cobra Kai.
yeah.
But yeah. If you guys ever if you haven't watched it's horror adjacent. I wouldn't say it's like strictly horror. But it is in the ballpark. It's about a girl whose spirit is trapped in a school, and they have to kind of figure out what's going on. It's kind of like a mystery whodunit in a way. But yeah, it's fun. But anyhow, Jennifer
Boy,
Tilly's in it.
if my spirit were going to be trapped somewhere, I wouldn't want to be in a school necessarily.
Right, that's what I was gonna say. I'd rather be trapped in like a mall or something,
Yeah.
because in the show they can use whatever items are in the school. Like, they can use the computers and stuff like that. They can watch movies that are in the library, but it has to be left there. So like, you go to like a mall or something, I feel like you could really like get some good food and stuff, because they can eat in the afterlife too. It's a very interesting interpretation of it.
It's weird. So basically, outside of the fact that you're stuck in one location, dine's what, not that different? I mean,
Yeah, really. Well,
peculiar.
it's kind of like a limbo, because they can pass on. It's just that these people happen to be stuck in this area for some reason. I won't say why they're stuck in that school, because that is kind of a spoiler if you've never seen the show. But Yeah, so there's a lot of logistics to it, but essentially, yeah, I mean, you just the living can't see you, or in most cases, the living can't see you.
All right.
So it's a cool show, but anyhow, we have a couple of movies coming on video on demand. So first one here is 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple. We did review this full review in the archive, but it is now available on video on demand, and then will be available physically on April 21st. That's exciting. Physical media is great. Soon you'll be able to own the entirety of the 28 later series on physical media, because obviously the first 2 days and weeks are out, and then year 28 years is also out. So this would be the fourth, and then hopefully the fifth movie will come out in the next couple years. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to rewatching this movie. It was good.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed it. It was a little bit different. But yeah, I do want to rewatch it just to kind of see if I missed anything. That's always how I am with those movies. Just want to make sure I didn't miss anything, because that initial watch through, I always feel like you always miss at least one thing, some little notion or nod. So we will see. But the other movie coming to video on demand is Primate. It is also currently available as a release. So we talked about Primate. I guess mixed reviews from the two of us. I think Dave liked it a lot. I thought it was all right. And then let's see. Yeah, I mean, if you want to watch it, it's out there. You can't beat a good movie. Is it on a streaming service, or is it just like video on demand, like
It's
for
just,
purchase?
yeah, it's just video on demand right now for purchase.
Gotcha. I feel like that'll end up like on like an HBO Max. I feel like that's
Oh
where that'll
yeah,
end up.
probably. It's a pretty big release. It'll be one of the bigger platforms.
Yeah, for sure. But all right, cool. That does it for our news. So we're gonna jump now. We have a couple of birthdays and a couple of anniversaries and a couple of releases. We're gonna talk about birthdays first. We have February 21st, 1979. Jordan Peele, known for his directorial roles in Nope, Get Out, and Us. The master of the proverbial elevated horror, if you will. And yeah, no, I love Jordan Peele. Very much enjoy his works, and yeah, I can't. Obviously, I don't want to talk about him too much. But watching Scream, they were talking about Jordan Peele and elevated horror, because that's kind of part of like the quip of the movie, is that what's her name? Is it Tara, which is Jenna Ortega's character? She
Yeah.
prefers like elevated horror, and she's like, I still like the Babadook and shit like that. So. But yeah, no, Jordan Peele's often talked about as a proprietor.
Yeah, I like Jordan Peele. Love his movies, and I think we got a new Jordan Peele movie coming pretty soon.
Yeah, I think I heard that.
Yeah.
Very good. But no, yeah, also I'll have to check out that new one when it comes around. But happy birthday, Jordan. We love you. And we'll move now to our other birthday this week, which is February 25th, 1997. We have Isabel Furman, of course, known for the Orphan franchise. You also may know her from the Hunger Games movie, where she played like Clove. But yeah, no, she's great. Does great as Esther in the Orphan series. And if I recall correctly from a more recent episode, we're getting another one, aren't we?
We are, yeah, and she's back at it. So, yeah, I don't know when that's coming out, but yep, new Orphan movie on the way.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, if she can do it, she can do it. That's all that matters. And it's obviously it's an interesting role, because it's an adult playing a kid, basically. So it's very interesting to see. But yeah, we'll have
But
to see.
spoiler, that's what the movie's about.
Yeah,
Ooh.
well, yeah. That is in fact what the movie's about. Yeah, if you haven't watched it, I mean, I think the first one came out like what, 2008?
Yeah, I think the lid's lifted off that spoiler.
Yeah, I'd
Yeah.
imagine so.
Come on,
But
everybody knows what Orphan's about. I hope. If not, you do now.
I was gonna say, if you don't, spoiler, but no, there's two of them. There's Orphan and Orphan First Kill. Orphan First Kill came out a couple years ago, straight to streaming, because it was during COVID. So it'd be exciting to see another Orphan movie in theaters for sure. But all right, happy birthday to Isabel Furman. And I think that does it for our birthdays this week. So we have a couple of anniversaries to chit chat about. First things first, we have February 19th, 1993, which is Army of Darkness. Army Darkness is great. One of my favorite Evil Dead movies. Probably top three if I had to put a number on it. Not that there's a whole shit ton of these movies. I mean, there's only what, four Evil Dead movies, not including the show. And oh, I'm sorry, that'd be five Evil Dead movies, not including the show, with a sixth on the way. Yeah, I mean, this is very timely. Evil Dead Burn is coming out pretty soon. And we've already gotten confirmation that the next Evil Dead movie will come out next year, I think, is the third of that trilogy.
Yeah, looking forward to it. The newer ones are really, really good. But so yeah, I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, Army of Darkness is fun, wacky, but very fun. Kind of the to me the epitome definition of what the Evil Dead series is about.
Yeah, I was gonna say the Army of Darkness, I feel like, really hones in on the wackiness and the comedy. The first two Evil Dead movies are more in line with just like the general lore, which it's also interesting that we talk about the Evil Dead. I'm not gonna say anything now, but the movie we watched for this week, Bloodborne, had a very strong Evil Dead influence, I think. So the Army of Darkness is great, and like you said, very very campy, very wacky, very much in Bruce Campbell's wheelhouse. But I'm interested to see if we'll ever get any sort of reference back to this movie in this current trilogy or anything to do with Bruce Campbell. I think that'd be interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
But anyhow, happy anniversary to Army of Darkness. It'd be a good time to watch it if you haven't yet. And again, very timely. Literally just a few days after his birthday, February 24th, 2017, we have Get Out. Get Out, I think, is probably Jordan Peele's major claim to fame in the horror franchise. I mean, his other movies are great, but I feel like Get Out kind of stands out above the rest. It did a fantastic job, creating terror and being both political but also very timely for the era. It's a great movie. I mean, Jordan Peele is fantastic, and everybody in that movie did so good. Yeah, I love that movie. So definitely, I'm excited for whatever he brings out next. I know he had a hand in Him too, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't know how, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how much he played a part in it, but yeah, he did. And I think you can tell.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say you can definitely tell. I think that maybe it was like his production company, because I think he owns Monkey Paw Production, so
Yeah,
or
yeah.
he or either that or he's a big part of it. So I think that was what it was. He may have been a producer, but anyhow, yeah, Get Out's fantastic. If you've never watched it, it's definitely time to watch it.
Yeah.
But all right, that is it for our anniversary. So we're gonna hop now to our upcoming releases. We have two. First things first, I'm the realist. No, I'm just kidding. I keep every time I say first things first, that's always what's in my head, but I'm like, that's not what I need to do. No, I kid. All right, two releases. Both of these are going to be really cool. I already know. I think these are both going to be super fantastic releases. And weirdly enough, we're not reviewing either of these, but we'll talk about that later. But this first one is This Is Not a Test, just coming to theaters on February 20th. And it is described as a movie that follows Sloan and four other students who take shelter in their high school during a zombie outbreak. I've seen a couple trailers for this, and it looks really good. I think that I don't know if they're going to go how they're going to go with this, because when you watch the trailers, it seems like part of it is going to be set inside the school, but then part of it is where they leave the school. So, it's one thing to create the ambience of like a shelter zombie movie, which is sort of a genre within the genre of a genre of a genre, versus like an actual out in the open kind of zombie movie. So I'm very curious to see how that goes. But yeah, I'm excited for this one.
Yeah, we just, what was the reason? We just talked about how just zombies never seem to go away. It's, they're just always there and, seem to be very popular. And, yeah, it's like a good movie, but man, we get a lot of zombie movies. Just a lot. So,
No, honestly, I think a lot of people, I mean, I guess it kind of depends on their opinions on zombie movies just in general, but a lot of people like zombie movies. A lot of people think that zombie movies are overdone. I'm of the wheelhouse that like I would prefer there to be all the zombie movies, like every single one. Bring them to me, because I love zombie movies. I love the concept. I love the idea of zombies. I would say the zombie movies is probably one of my favorite subgenres of horror, just because I just love zombies. I love seeing zombies and the different types of zombies, different aspects of zombies, zombies that run, zombies that are sauntering, and super zombies that are 10 foot tall, and oh, so much fun.
Yeah. I mean, I like zombies too. But if they don't do something a little unique, not so even with the zombies, just with the story in general, they
Right.
all tend to blur together sometimes. And the ones that do something, unique or have a good story or do something different with the zombies are the ones that stand out. So I'd be curious to see what this one's like.
No, absolutely. So we'll have to check that out. When it comes to video on demand, eventually it'll be on. It'll probably be like a Shudder or a Screambox. So this is like a smaller release. I think this one also has some pretty limited show times near us.
Yeah, it does.
But hopefully it'll come to streaming and we'll be able to watch it and talk about it a little more. But I'll definitely check it out when it does. The other release that has a little bit more of a wide release is Psycho Killer. Just reminds me of oh man, who what wrestler was it that had Psycho Killer as a song? It was
That's Tommaso Ciampa.
yeah.
And it does once again. He's an AEW now, and he once again has Psycho Killer. Well,
That's amazing.
at least that's his nickname. I'm not sure if he's got the song, but yeah, Psycho Killer by the Talking Heads is a fantastic song.
Yeah, it is. I like that song a lot.
It's sing-along song.
It really is. It's just a fun song, and I mean, and like you said, I mean, we went to a couple wrestling shows where we saw
Yeah.
Tommaso Ciampa, and he anytime they come on, the crowd is just Psycho Killer.
Yeah,
Just
so
could
good.
say, but no, it's great.
If that song's not in this movie, I don't know what they're doing.
Right, I feel like that's super on the nose. I feel like they got to do it, but no, absolutely. But so Psycho Killer, we're getting this in theaters February 20th, same day. And it is described as a police officer tracks down a killer after her husband, a highway patrolman, becomes one of his victims. It's great. It's a great idea. I'm always down for the hunting the hunter trope in these movies. Hunter becoming the hunted type deal, and that's very interesting. You know what I mean? Like, what would you do if your significant other was murdered by a serial killer? How far would you go? And I think this will be a cool dive into that idea. And I would venture to guess that this is probably going to fall into sort of a slasher-esque movie. I would venture to guess, just maybe a little bit of a role reversal on the lead up.
Yeah, I don't know. And this might be one that leans heavy into the thriller suspense part of it, but yeah, I think there's gonna be some definite kills. And I think, is this the one? I don't know if this is an official thing or just something where it's like the killer's like this, called the Satanic Killer or the Satan Killer, or I thought I saw that somewhere, but I'm not sure on that. But yeah, I think there's more to this, to that they're not. A lot into, because in IMDb, it does say that one of their tags is something about supernatural horror. And
Okay.
I think I did see that, like I said, something where it says the demon or a Satan killer, a satanic killer. So I don't think it's just straight up serial killer. That's what the vibe I'm getting. So I hope not. That'd be cool to put something like that into it. And,
Gotcha.
but I think there's more. I think there's going to be some kind of supernatural, ritualistic, whatever you want to call it. Aspect to it, but it may not be. I don't know, but it's getting a lot of hype. Which oddly enough, it's weird because it's getting a lot of hype or whatever else. But the one movie theater closest to us is getting this is on a test, very limited, very like one showing again, like the other one. But there's no Psycho Killer at that one.
Huh.
Now I haven't checked the other theaters, but it's weird to me because I thought it would be the other way around. But I don't know, for some reason I thought Psycho Killer was the bigger release here, but. Who
Interesting.
knows? What a weird world.
It is.
I don't know.
Well,
But
and
anyway, they're both kind of limited, at least around here, limited in their release. I don't think this is like a, these are not big scale releases, so.
gotcha. Well, actually, I just pulled up the IMDb just because I was curious if they had any information. So apparently this project's been in development for over a decade, the original script being written as early as 2007. And originally in 2009, the fuck? I'm sorry. Fred Durst was attached to direct, with Eli Roth attached as a producer. You heard that
Okay.
right.
So,
Fred Durst of Limp Bizkit was going to direct this movie.
but he didn't end up directing it?
No. I think the
Damn.
director. Yeah, that's a crying fucking shame. But
You
the current.
know, this may be a great movie and I may really love it, but what a missed opportunity that we couldn't see this and this concept with Fred Durst directing.
Listen, I it was so just for reference, the guy who's directing it is Gavin Pillone. He hasn't really directed a whole lot, but he's done a lot of story sorry, production, and he produced like that movie Cold Storage that came out recently,
Oh yeah.
Zombieland Double Tap,
Ah.
and then he was also an executive producer on the original Zombieland as well. So I do think that he's got the chops for it, but holy shit, who?
Where does that come up with of? You know who we should get to direct this? Fred Durst. Unless he's like investing money in it or something, and you know what I
Yeah,
mean? And
I'm
being
gonna have
a
to look this up later because I don't
financially.
like you. Like, how the fuck did Fred Durst even get his name on that list to direct this movie? Because I guess the original guy who wrote this was a guy named Andrew Kevin Walker. He wrote Seven. What the fuck? So
Yeah,
I,
yeah.
so he wrote Seven, and I guess maybe he was just like, I really want Fred Durst to direct this movie.
I'm a big Limp Bizkit fan.
A big Limp Bizkit man.
Therefore,
It's one of those
it's
days.
like, yeah, so your first thought's not, we got to get Limp Bizkit on the soundtrack or something like that. Or we just have Fred Durst do the some music for this. It's, let's get Fred Durst to drink. That sounds to me like a bunch of guys sitting around getting high while they're working on this movie, saying, you know what would be wild? What do you think Fred Durst would do with this movie if he were directing it? How fucked up would that be? And someone's like, let's do it.
That's just
This feels like a great story that we need to look into.
was just saying, I just feel like this is fake. Like, I feel like just somebody just put that on there.
I don't know. Stand by because next week's episode, there might be follow-up to this. Because we're going to go down rabbit holes here and we're going to learn what we can about this. And we'll report back next week if we know more about the Fred Durst directing Psycho Killer, why it didn't happen, why it was going to happen, how serious this was. And then I think we need to start a petition of let's get Fred Durst to direct something.
Yeah,
And
that's hilarious.
maybe Fred Durst has directed something. I don't know. He's a wacky dude, does a lot of things, right? He was. Who knows?
I mean, he if he wants to do it, man, I say give it to him. I say fuck it, put him in the director's chair. I mean, throw some money at this guy. I mean, fuck it. I mean, why not?
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, we've got to find out more about this.
Yeah, so I started doing a little research, but I might have to do a little bit more. But very funny. Okay, well that was an interesting rabbit hole I didn't expect to go down today, but we did indeed. but all right, I think that does it. I think that wraps up our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and releases. So we will take a quick break, and when we come back, we will have our official review of Bloodborne. Stick around.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Woo! All right, we are back here on Listen to the Screams. It is review time, and we are reviewing Bloodborne. Written by Gabriel Bernini and Alexandra Jade, directed by Gabriel Bernini, starring Chloe Cherry, that's got to be a stage name, Lena Redford, and others. The movie was released on Screambox on February 17th. Now, again, there's not a whole lot in depth to talk about this movie, but I will say this. I like the movie. I enjoyed the movie. I thought the movie was fun and great. And there's going to be two veins of thought on this movie. People are going to watch it and they're going to be like, this is the trashiest looking, low budget movie I've ever seen in my life. That the acting's horrible, the camera shots are horrible, this and that. And then there's the vein of thought that I'm in saying, I think that was all done intentionally. Because I think this is a callback, clearly a callback to lots of late 70s, early 80s to mid 80s horror type movies, right? Slasher movies, whatever you want to call it. Lots of callback style wise. You could tell, right, by the music. It had synth music in it, by the stylings of the graphics and the titles and stuff. This movie, the bad acting in it, I would guarantee you was purposely done. This is a tongue-in-cheek homage that, like you said earlier, clearly Gabriel Bernini, and I'd love to reach out because I want to interview him because I want to know the approach to this movie. But clearly, I would say, like you mentioned earlier, I bet he's an Evil Dead fan.
Oh,
And
yeah.
but this movie, you know, it had some blood, it had some gore, it had plenty of kills, some wacky shit. And yes, this is the kind of movie that if you watched it just out of nowhere, right? Someone sat you down and said, watch this. You're gonna think, oh, this probably was from like whatever, 83, 84, something like that. I mean, you know, if you're not really overthinking it. And but you know, again, not you know, something spectacular, over the top, great movie, no groundbreaking, whatever else. Just a fun little slashery horror type movie, lots of good shit in it. And like I said, a very tongue-in-cheek homage to me to 80s horror. And you know, and it's fun. And this what it is, it was not very long at all. What was it, an hour and 15 or something like that?
Oh no, yeah, it was super short.
Which is good, right? If you're making this kind of movie, you don't want to overdo it, or else it's really not going to work.
Yeah,
Because
an hour 16.
you can't overdo that if you're taking their approach to this. So I thought they did a good job. I thought it was fun and a wacky little movie. A nice entry in a screen you know, a Screambox streaming release. This is that kind of movie, right? That we've talked about. That just it's works perfect for them to put out there. It's again, I enjoyed it. I liked watching it. It's not gonna like hit any of my top favorite movie of all time lists. It's not one of those movies I'm gonna seek out and to rewatch all the time or anything like that. But it, like I said, it was just a fun little campy, to me, a very love letter to 80s horror. And I thought it was all right. So, Ike, what'd you think?
No, yeah, I 100% agree. It very much, this movie was very much like you said, I think an homage or a callback or something of that nature to 80s horror. Just kind of looking at the movie just as a whole, you know, you had the 80s synth music, you had the just the general like concept of like an Evil Dead-esque, you know, entity, if you will. Even the opening shot is extremely reminiscent of like the Evil Dead. It's like a low moving shot type deal. You know, and the concept in of itself is kind of hokey, but obviously that's how a lot of these 80 movies were. You know, they had a pretty, I would say, accurate cast for the time period, right? If they're trying to cast like an 80s cast, like these people all look like they could have existed in the 80s in some form. And you know, I think the big thing that this movie did well with is practical effects. You know, all the stuff. And like I said, I'm not going to ruin anything. I'm sure people could probably guess by how we're talking. There is some sort of entity slash creature type monster that is in this movie. They had to use practical effects for it. That's all I'm going to say. And you know, that those practical effects, I think, did a really good job of creating the atmosphere that we were looking for with this kind of a movie. Super short movie. I mean, like we said, I mean, this movie's only an hour and 16 minutes. Like that's a perfect like sweet spot for a movie like this. You know what I mean? Like a little over an hour, solid. You know what I mean? Had this movie been longer, we'd probably be having a different conversation because they definitely would have been trying to fit too much stuff in there. And doing too much. And I think that the length that we got was solid given the concept that we were working with. So, yeah, solid for Screambox. I mean, and like you said, this is going to divide people. Maybe not as much as other movies, but I think this movie will divide people because there are people who are either going to say, this is horseshit. Like, this is just a hokey movie. Like, I hate it. or people are going to say, okay, that was the intention. They were trying to be hokey. They were trying to create that ambience of an 80s horror movie. And if people are at least approaching it from that perspective of like, this was intentional, I feel like a lot of people are going to like it. But if they're approaching it from the perspective that like, oh, they really screwed the pooch on this one, this is just shit, then I think a lot of people are going to be like, okay, this is – no, I'm good.
Yeah.
But genuinely, if you approach it with the open mind of like, this is supposed to be hokey, this is supposed to be cheesy, it's supposed to be horror-esque from the 80s, then I think you're going to enjoy it for sure.
Yeah, and if that's if that is your cup of tea, like it is mine, right? I love cheesy, gory 80s horror movies. I love those.
Right.
This movie, you know, it hits on that, and it's, you know, again, it's not one of those that stands out as, you know, oh, it's great, but again, it's fun. And so giving it a ranking, you know what? I think just because, like I said, because I enjoyed it or whatever else, I'm just gonna keep it right middle of the ground. I'm gonna give it a 3 out of 5. I don't in my veins, my eyes, I don't see any reason to rank it lower. I don't see any reason to rank it higher. It's a fun little movie, enjoyable. You know, I liked it. But you know, again, but nothing that just makes it spectacular for me. So I put it right in the middle of the field at 3 out of 5 screams. Ike, what are you ranking it?
No, I think I'd have to do the same. Right down the middle, three stars. Oh, sorry, 3 screams out of 5. We don't do stars around here.
No.
but no, yeah, three screams out of five. I think that's a perfect ranking for a movie like this because is this movie going to win any awards? Absolutely not. But this movie is enjoyable. It is a true callback to the wonder of 80s horror. I mean, 80s horror did, I mean, just so much for the horror genre. So it is fun to kind of see a nice little homage to that generation because we don't see a lot of movies like that anymore. And so I think that getting a movie like this is just a fun little throwback and it's enjoyable. So 3 stars out of 5, goddamn, 3 screams out of 5, I swear to God. I think that's where I'd put it.
All right, there you go. And Gabriel Bernini, if you are listening by chance because you saw, hey, these guys are reviewing my movie, I want to hear what they say. Reach out to us. We'd like to interview you. I'd love to talk about Bloodborne with you,
Right.
and your love of clearly what is. I gotta feel like you love Evil Dead, and I'd like to talk to you about what other movies you love. I feel like we could be kindred spirits. That is it for this episode. Thank you to our wives. Oh, excuse me. Well, go ahead. Thank you to our wives, our listeners, and our followers for all your support. Kind of got out of order there. But next episode, we talked about this earlier. We are not reviewing either of the new upcoming releases. We're going to have to dip back into a movie that we've seen that we did get a chance to review that we're going to review now. And but I am excited because this is a movie that the week it came, I can't remember what we reviewed. Was this the movie the week with Iron Lung?
Yeah, this is Iron Lung Week.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, it's like, ooh, which one do you do? Because, you know, they both have very strong cases to be made. But we're going to go back and catch and review Send Help, the Sam Raimi directed movie. And one of the reasons is because we did talk, right? Because these showings are very limited, which makes it doubly difficult for us because, like we said earlier, this weekend we will be at Pensacon in Pensacola, Florida, spending a lot of time there. So that limited showing thing makes it just doubly difficult for us to be able to find a way to squeeze in that movie going experience. So this weekend we're going back and, or this episode, next episode, excuse me, we're going back and catching up, and we're going to review Send Help. But if you are going to be in Pensacola, Florida for Pensacon, then make sure you say hi. We will be there. Come up, tell us what you think, get a picture, get a selfie, put it on social media. We'd love all of that. We will be there. We will be then following up with lots of content online, lots of pictures and videos and et cetera. And then we will have a full review of the convention next episode as well. Pretty much our entire opening segment will be a nice, long, in-depth talk about what we experienced, what we saw at Pensacon. So make sure you check that out. And to see all of that coverage, you have to subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much any platform. Just search for Listen to Their Screams or Listen the Number 2 in Screams, and you will find us there. So before we close out, Ike, and before we officially dive into Pensacon weekend, is there anything you'd like to add?
Oh man, let's see. honestly just excited to go to PenceCon. We're gonna go as members of the press, if you will, and we're gonna get to kind of see some cool stuff there, and that'll be fun. I've been to PenceCon before, but it's been a couple of years, so I'm wondering if they've made any changes to their lineup or their venue at all. And then, of course, there's going to be some panels and stuff. I hope on Sunday to go to a panel to see David R. Thornton, Samantha Scavitti, and the little pal girl. I cannot remember her name in real life.
I don't remember either.
Yeah, that's I always forget her name.
Just little pal girl.
Yeah, little pal girl. But they're all going to be there. They're going to have a good talk and a panel, hopefully. So I'm excited for that. But I'm excited to go to Pensacon and see what kind of trouble we can get into.
That's right. And there's several really look to be really strong panels that we're going to see. We'll talk about those. We'll talk about what we see vendor-wise there, any cool stuff that's being sold. And we will talk about anybody we ran into. I always love, one of my favorite parts of going to convention is seeing the cosplayers and what cool costumes are out there. So we'll make sure to get lots of pictures of those and everything else that we can at PensaCon. So, there'll be pictures, there'll be videos, there'll be all kinds of cool stuff that will be on social media, will be posted. And then, like I said, of course, in the next episode, we will talk in depth about the event and summarize it all and give a big review, or whatever you want to call it, of the event. So, all right, then, let's close out as we prep for that. Guys, remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, always be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.